One of the things I'm trying to learn how to do is to obey, and I've got a word I need to deliver to you, and I need to do it right now, and then we're going to come back, and we've got some other things, but if I wait on this, why, the impact of what God is saying will lessen, and I don't want that to happen. God works in, the Holy Spirit works in movement. Every time he's mentioned in the Bible, it has to do with movement. We hear phrases like the move of the Holy Spirit or the flow of the Holy Spirit. Jesus described him as new wine expanding. He described him as a well, actually a spring, not a well. A well is still water, but he described him as a spring or a moving river that flows up out of your innermost being. In John 7, he describes him that way. He says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And it's, again, it's movement, and it's fast movement. It's not just placid movement. The new wine expression is violent kind of movement. He says, don't put him into a wine flask that won't expand, but rather let him move. And let him expand. And so we have moves of the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that I have discovered is the Holy Spirit also works in waves. A flowing, ebbing and flowing kind of motion. And we see this in our own life. We often see it happen in our lives. Where there'll be a move of the Spirit, and then there'll be a quiet time. We experience it right here on the platform just a second ago. There was a lot of dancing and expression and movement, and then the Spirit said, be quiet, and get quiet. It's an ebbing and a flowing. The wave comes in and washes high on the shore, and then it ebbs and goes back out. But when it comes back again, it always comes back with additional force. Those of you who are familiar with the ebbs and flows of the waves of the sea know that the great ground swells come in basically in sevens, and each one will get larger and larger, and the seventh wave will be the largest wave, and then there'll be a quiet time, and then they'll start all over again. Now, I don't understand that. As far as I know, the people who study geology don't really understand that. But you see the waves of the ocean, the swells of the ocean coming that way, each one building higher and higher and higher, and then they're starting all over again. We have been experiencing that kind of thing in this church. And I believe that we have been in one of the quiet times in the church. The last couple of years have not been ebbing times. They've just been times of quiet times. There's been activity, but not the kind of activity we experienced 15, 16 years ago, when the move really got started and there was all kinds of things that were happening. I met with our elders this last weekend, and then again with the leadership of the church, home leaders, yesterday, and we talked about a few of these things. Because I believe that there's a wave that's building. Not only just something out there, but I think it's time for guys, for us to mount our surfboards, because it's here. This is not just something that you're kind of paddling around with out there, but it's time to get up and get ready. And not just lie on your tummies anymore. I mean, this is a mounting time. This is a hang ten kind of time, because there's something big that's building up underneath us, that's moving this way. And if we don't ride it, we're going to miss it completely. I don't know much about surfing, except that you can get your bones broken out there if you don't know how to do it. But I do know that there is Thomas Paine said, a time in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, move on. And that's exactly where we are right now. I think there is a movement that is happening in the church. Now, it's not just happening here in Melbourne, interestingly enough. I've just returned from a leadership meeting in St. Louis, and I've heard some remarkable reports. I had known about these, but I had not heard them firsthand. I spent some time with a fellow that I've known about for several years, a guy by the name of John Wimber, who's an adjunct professor at Fuller Theological Seminary. And I had heard reports of what was happening in John's ministry. He's a Quaker. It's coming from strange areas. John comes out of the Friends Church. He was a Quaker. He's a non-religious guy. He doesn't have any seminary training. He doesn't have any theological education. But he's got a lot of equipment upstairs. And he's been studying the Bible. And as the Spirit of God moved on him and caught him at midlife, and he gave up his music producing business, laid aside $35 million a year in the music producing business. He was producing for the Righteous Brothers and did the Beatles' first concert when they came to the United States and this kind of thing, and laid all that kind of stuff aside and moved over into the kingdom of God. And the Lord has picked him up and has begun to use him, and he's been out on the forefront. But he's not working with the classical Pentecostals who don't even know who he is, nor really with the what we call now the charismatic groups, the kind of the independent groups. The Lord has thrust him into evangelicals. He has to work with the evangelicals. John told me that he ministered this last year. Since the first of this year, he's spoken to more than 30,000 Southern Baptist pastors in various conferences, and 3,000 of those have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit under his ministry. Now, many of us didn't expect it would come that way. We thought, you know, we were kind of it, and it was going to happen here with us. And instead, we find the Spirit moving in many, many different areas. Out. There's a whole new move of the Spirit among Roman Catholics. I was kind of believing that thing kind of died out. And here I'm with a group of Catholic priests, and they're telling me about a whole new groundswell. Now, it's very Catholic. It's not the ecumenical thing that we experienced 10 years ago. And I say, well, I don't know how to react to that. Whether that's bad or good, it really doesn't make any difference. The fact is, God is moving among these Roman Catholics. And they're, you know, they're counting their beads and flashing their rosaries and praying God and speaking in tongues. And, you know, I'm still a little shocked. I was with these fellows for a week this last week at a Catholic retreat center outside of St. Louis. And we're all upstairs praying, praising God, singing in the Spirit, and speaking in tongues, and laying hands on each other. And then we all go downstairs after the meeting is over, and the guys, the Catholics, all run to the refrigerator and guzzle their beer. And here I am back with my old evangelical background. I'm struggling with this just a little bit, you know. But God's saying, just look at me. Everybody comes from a different perspective. And they're all coming to Him. Now, what I'm hearing, and the reason I wanted to stop this thing right now, is that I hear God saying that if we're ever going to be pure, we got to go back to our Genesis. And this is what I see happening. What's happening among all these Baptist groups and these evangelicals is that they're getting caught up with an excitement that I got caught up in 18 years ago. And it's new to them, brand new. They're speaking in tongues for the first time. They're singing in the Spirit for the first time. They're dancing for the first time. And there's a whole explosion that's happening out there. And with that explosion is coming this ripple effect that's coming out all the way across the nation, which is turning into waves. I understand that from my geologist friends that tidal waves are usually caused by huge undersea movements of some kind. There'll be a shift in the cracks of the earth. And under the ocean, under the Pacific Ocean, there'll be a huge breaking or shifting, and all of a sudden a wave takes, or there'll be an undersea volcano erupt and doesn't have any place to go, so it just pushes the water out, and that causes a tidal wave to begin to happen. Oftentimes you can't see the actual origins of it, but you can certainly see the effects of it, and that we're in the throes of that kind of thing. It's happening now. It's happening out across the nation. And I don't think that God intends for that just to sweep across Melbourne. I think that He intends for a lot of it to happen, to originate right here among our people. But in order to do that, we go back to our Genesis. And our Genesis, our beginnings, for those of us who are here, for anybody who's moving in the Spirit, is back to the early church. We've got to go back to purity. And more and more I hear God saying, I was reading this afternoon, I was reading after I got here. I got all caught up over here on the side, and I couldn't believe. You know, it's interesting. I made some notes about what was happening. Acts 2 through 5, exciting kind of things that took place in that early church. And over and over and over again, I hear this term, miracles and signs and wonders, It's just that the New Testament is fraught with it in those early days. And I begin to think, gosh, how easy it is. Those were terms that were on our lips 15 years ago when many of us began to move in the Spirit. How easy it is to put those aside and to move on to other things. And God says, listen, you never move beyond me. There's a wave coming, and this wave that's coming is a wave of miracles and signs and wonders. That's the way I gather my people. What happened at Pentecost in Acts 2, let's just do a little tiny Bible study here for a minute. We're going to come back and praise some more and got some other things that are going to happen, and I'm not going to stay here with this very long. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now look what happened. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation who had come to work at the Harris Corporation. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. All these engineers didn't know how to handle this kind of thing. A crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And I thought, my word, this is Melbourne, Florida. This is Palm Bay. This is Satellite Beach. This is in the Atlantic. This is Melbourne Beach. I look around this, I can't believe what's happening. We got a Hilton Hotel. Skyscraper going up over here next to the airport. It's going to house all of these Medes and Parthians and Elamites and folks from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pergia and Pamphylia. And the Egyptians are all going to stay down at the Holiday Inn that's going up down on Palm Bay Road down there. Brand new hotel. We got hotels all over the place. People are coming into this place from everywhere. They're not just coming in here to live, folks. They're coming in here to spend a week or a day or a night or 2 weeks. They're coming in here on TDY for 3 months. But they're coming in here because something is happening in the scientific world. Now, what happened in Jerusalem, these folks did not come because the Christians were doing something. They came because there was a religious festival. These are all religious people. And they came for Pentecost. They came for the day of Pentecost, the great celebration of the Jews. Dull, dead, nothing. That's all it was. Feasting, they all came for religious reasons. They were convention people. They were like the American Legion or the veterans of foreign wars, and they were hooping it up, and they were coming for their regular convention. And God says, I'm going to choose this place and this time because that's where the people are to do my mighty work among them. And that's exactly what he did. And I heard God say, listen, I have put you in the middle of a Jerusalem. That's why we're here. We've been here, and now the wave is moving. And the world is sending these people in, many of them coming to live here. But many of them will not live here. And they're coming just because they're being sent here. They're coming to Patrick Air Force Base. They're coming to all of these places around here. And God is sending them. And all we have to do is light a fire big enough that they're going to see the glow on the horizon and show up and come and see what's going on. That's exactly what happened here. That's exactly what tongues did at that early day of Pentecost. That was the purpose of it. Purpose of it was to draw the crowd. And they all came in and said, my word, what's going on here? Look, when they heard this sound, this is Acts 2:6. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment. That's a marvelous word, bewilderment. Because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Now, what is that? That's a miracle. Not only is it a miracle, it's a sign. Isaiah had prophesied this 750 years before this happened, that they would hear each other speaking with stuttering lips in words that could not be understood. It was a sign to the Jews how desperately they needed that, and there it was. Now, later on, we're going to find that Peter says that this is the way Jesus verified what he did. Jesus proved that he was God with signs and wonders and miracles. And they heard each other speaking, and they were utterly amazed. There's another marvelous word. And they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And you know what they said about the Galileans? The Galileans were the rednecks of Israel. That's who they were. They were the unlearned and the uneducated. The smart folks lived down in Jerusalem. These are a bunch of rednecks who had moved in from Galilee, from the north part, up around Nazareth and all that area, and they come tromping into Jerusalem. They don't know any better. They chew tobacco. They're just a bunch of West Melbourne rednecks is who they are, and they've all come down Jerusalem because God said, get together down there. And they came in and suddenly the Spirit of God fell on them, and miracles began to happen out of them. Now, as the religious folks, the seminary-trained guys, they're all out on the side. We're going to read about them in just a minute, what they did. They caused problems, is what they did. But these fellows are here, and they said, how can these unlearned fellows, these Galileans? Well, look what they're doing. They're speaking in all these different languages. There's miracles that are happening out of it. How is it each one of us hears in our own native language? And then it lists all these folks who were there from all parts of the known world, from all across the Mediterranean, from all across Northern Africa, from all across the Middle East. They've come, they're Arabs who are there. Everybody's there. We hear them declaring, this is verse 11, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Now look at the way they're described in the Bible. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? And then, of course, they were accused of being drunk, of course. Now, in the middle of this, don't ever ask a question around a spirit-filled Christian because you're going to get an answer. And the moment they asked, what does this mean, Peter stood up and said, I'll tell you what it means. And then he preached the most tremendous sermon, and the people responded to the sermon. Now, I believe that that's what God is saying to us here. I believe that God has anointed Curry Vaughn as a Simon Peter. I think that's what he's here for. And I think that we are the folks who are supposed to be the crowd drawers. I don't expect Curry to draw crowds. He's not going to do that. God's not giving him that gift of crowd drawing. But he does speak into the issue when it happens. Now, who draws the crowds? We do. We're the ones who are performing the signs and wonders. We're the miracle people. We're the sign people. We're the wonder people. The healing is going to flow through us. Don't look to the platform for healing. Look to yourself. Look to your own hand. That's where it's going to flow. It's going to flow out of us. And as we are out here in this community, as you're on your job up at the Cape or down at Harris or any of the other electronic firms, the hundreds of them that are springing up around here, the medical firms, this place is becoming a medical center. All kinds of marvelous things that are happening here in this little South Brevard area. And God is sending in the elite of the world. How many foreign students, Amos, do we have at, where's Amos? Do we have at FIT? 700. Where are the most of them from? I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't 700 from Pakistan and Iran, and you know.
They're more than that country, and they're also from China, Taiwan, other.
Let me tell you what we've got at FIT. We have got a mission field at FIT, and the reason it's the prime mission is because these are going to be the leaders of these nations who are going to go back. Most of them will go. A few will stay here, and we'll work here in this area. But the majority of them will return to their... If we can win, those kids, if they can see what's happening. Now, most of these people who are coming, especially those who are coming from Eastern nations or the Middle East, signs and wonders and miracles are no big deal to them. I remember being in Thailand several years ago and had dinner one night with the wife of the commander-in-chief of the Thai military forces. And she had taken us out to a fancy Thai restaurant where they did the beautiful Thai dances and this kind of thing. We were all kind of sitting around the table there, cross-legged with our legs under the table. And she was telling me what had happened in the chief of staff's meeting that afternoon. Her husband had come home and told her. And they had a whole strategy plan of what they were going to do with the Thai military forces. And she said in the middle of the meeting, the spirits spoke to them. And they changed the entire Thai military strategy on the basis of the fact the spirits had spoken to them. You know what the spirits spoke out of? A flower pot. They had a flower pot on the table that was dedicated to the spirits. And the spirits spoke out of the flowers. And these guys are all sitting around the table, and they listened. They bowed down and gave obeisance to the flower pot, and they changed the whole Thai military strategy. Now, that happens in the East all the time. And you're in Thailand, you can't get on a bus without having a bunch of flowers hanging there. And in the yard of every house, there's a spirit house. Looks like a little bird house. And they go out and put food there, and the spirits come along and eat, and they do. And that kind of amazes us folks here in the West that that kind of thing happens. But it does. What I'm saying is the people who come in from the Eastern nations, the spirit world is nothing strange to them. It's just the wrong spirit. Now, if you expose them to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of God, and they see genuine miracles, not miracles that kill people, because that's what happens there. So many of the signs and wonders there are devastating things, bloody kind of things. But you see miracles that build up and kill and help and make happy and give peace. They respond to it. We respond to it in a marvelous way. And we've got, what a wonderful opportunity we've got. Now, most of us are just kind of sitting around on our duffs waiting for Curry to get the job done with this. And God said, he's not going to do the job. You're going to do the job. That's where the joy comes from. God's going to use you. He's going to send you out in ministry. People are sitting around saying, I want ministry. I want ministry. Well, listen, we've got a marvelous evangelistic field out here. And I believe God is raising up in this body evangelists. Signs and wonders people, miracle people. They're going to go out and lay hands in the name of Jesus. The same thing that happened at Pentecost is going to happen here. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. Now, I'm not going to go through all this because I want to get back into some other things that we've been doing here on the platform. I did a little tiny little study just a few minutes ago. And there's three kinds of reactions that are listed in Acts 2 through 5. The believers, they're always described as signs and wonders people. Every place they went, there were miracle and signs and wonders. Marvelous things were happening every place they went. The people, the descriptions that are given are awe, wonder, amazement, and bewilderment. That was their reaction. The religious leaders, it describes them as being astonished and greatly disturbed. That was their response to this whole thing. Now, see, I think that's, God says, listen, you're not supposed to be religious. If you get religious, you're going to spoil the whole thing. If you get religious, you're going to break down what God is saying, because religious people think they have the answers. The uneducated, the rednecks, the Galileans, they don't have any answers. All they do is do what God tells them to do. That's the reason I stood up here rather than waiting until the appropriate time to teach tonight, because I'm really trying. I'm struggling with this whole thing of trying to do what God tells me to do, and it's tough sometimes, because sometimes it means you break the mold to do it. Let me read you just a little passage of Scripture. This is Acts 5:12. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. Who did it? They did it. You say, well, Jesus is the miracle worker. Yes, but he used their hands to do it. Peter and John at the gate of the temple reached down and touched that fella and grabbed him by the arm and picked him up. And they did it. They said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you. I do it. You will do it. You will do it with the authority of Jesus. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them. Even though they were highly regarded by the people, nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. What was it that drew them in? It was the signs and wonders that drew them in. God is saying something about size and about evangelism. We've heard that word over and over and over again here. It's interesting that with the leaders of all of these denominations that I was with this last week, these Spirit-filled guys, they were all saying, you know, we believe that beginning with 1990, that there's to be 10 years of world evangelism. The world is going to see something that it has never seen before, beginning with the end of this decade. Even the Pope in Rome is prepared to declare 1990 to the year 2000 as a decade of world evangelism, winning people to Jesus Christ. Now, what's happened with this has been a prelude, signs and wonders. Let me tell you a little story, and you're just going to have to hold on to this the best you can, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that are happening that a lot of us don't understand. A lot of us don't understand. I heard last year when Ernst Winter was here. Ernst Winter is an Austrian. Some of you remember him. He has been here on a couple of occasions and has spoken here. He's a strange kind of hermit fellow who lives in Austria. A scientist who worked with the United Nations for a number of years. Brilliant man. A doctor in nutrition and some other things. And Ernst told me a little story. He's Roman Catholic. He says, you know, there's something marvelous that's happening in Yugoslavia. And I said, what's happening in Yugoslavia? He said, well, there's been a visitation by God in Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia is an Iron Curtain country. visitation by God in Yugoslavia. And I said, what do you mean? He says, well, the Virgin has appeared to a group of children in Yugoslavia. Oh, come on, Ernest, don't tell me that. You know, here we are back to Our Lady of Guadalupe and all this kind of stuff, you know. And I hate to get caught up in that. And, you know, well, I'm just telling you what's happened. Says, you know, it's happening over there with this bunch of Roman Catholics in Yugoslavia who are all under the communist regime. They've all been pushed down by the communists. And I'm telling you, there's been an apparition of the Virgin Mary who has appeared to some children in Yugoslavia. He said, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to take my television camera and see if I can get some pictures. And I said, well, I'll come back and tell me what's happened. Well, he did. He came back and told me. Sure enough. Now, it's a strange kind of thing because nobody can see the apparition. It's an apparition of the Virgin Mary to some young fellows, young children, young teenagers, five of them who were out on the hillside and one afternoon playing. And this woman appeared and told them that she was the mother of Jesus and she had come to bring a message to the people of Yugoslavia. And the kids would go back and tell. And they said, well, what's the message? And the message was, you are to worship my son Jesus. That's the message. Well, this upset all the Catholics because this didn't fit into Catholic theology. And then she told them that she was going to start meeting them on a regular occasion at a tiny little Catholic church down the valley. And so they said, okay, we'll meet you down there. So they went down there and they met her. And she kept showing up and with the same message all the time, worship my son Jesus. And they told the priest and he didn't believe them. And the reason he didn't believe them because he couldn't see her. Nobody else could see her. Just these five young people. That's all, these children. And they could see her. And then it turns out she's charismatic. She's telling them they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, that Jesus will baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Now listen, this is, you know, just take it for whatever it's worth. That they're supposed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're all supposed to be speaking in tongues. And so the kids tell the priests and some of the leaders of the church, and they don't appreciate that very much. And they figure they better check this thing out. And so they did some scientific investigation. The kids would come in, they would kneel at the altar. They would all look up and they would see the apparition of the Virgin up here and she's talking to them and they'd be there nodding their heads and talking back. But nobody else could see it. Nobody. Folks just kind of sitting around saying, what are they talking to? And so they said, okay, what we're going to do the moment this so-called apparition leaves, we're going to separate these kids. And they did. Took them all into different rooms and said, now tell us exactly what she looked like and what she said. And they wrote it down meticulously, brought back and compared the notes, and they were all exactly the same. Every one of them. They'd all seen the same thing. They'd all heard the same thing. I mean, it was right on target. And they did this over and over and over again. Well, what happened is the word spread out through Yugoslavia. I was talking to David Duplessy this last week in St. Louis. David had just returned from there. He had gone. I got some other friends who've gone. I almost went last year. Jackie and I talked about it, and I still had a whole lot of reservations about whether I should do that or not. But anyway, I talked to David, and David said, yeah, I've just come back from there. I said, David, did you see the apparition? Oh, no, I didn't see the apparition. I talked to the young people. Well, what did the young people say? Well, they said that the apparition said that we should worship Jesus. It's an appearance. We should worship Jesus, and that we're to give our lives to Jesus, and we're to surrender ourselves to Jesus, and that we're all to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that everybody's to read their Bible. I said, well, what was it like when you got there? He said there were 120,000 people there the afternoon that he was there from Yugoslavia, this communist nation. 120,000. They have gathered from all over southern Yugoslavia. And he said every one of them had a Bible in their hands. So these are Roman Catholics who've never read the Bible in their life. Never. And they're all there with their Bible in their hand. They don't understand it. They're reading it. It's in Yugoslavia. And said for the first time, and said there was little prayer groups going up. People were praying for each other. They didn't know what they're supposed to do them, but the apparition had said that they were to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and they would accept Jesus. And so they didn't know how to do that. So they all got together with their Bibles and they're all in little knots around on the place and they're laying hands on each other because that's what the Bible said you're supposed to do. And they're praying for one another to receive Jesus and to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, what do you do with that, huh? Come on, what do you do with that?
That doesn't fit in any theology I have. That doesn't line up with anything I've been taught. The whole thing is kind of bunk. Except that there's 120,000 people over there who have received Jesus Christ, who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, who are reading the Bible. Now that's all. Now let me tell you where I list that. I drop that into a category called signs and wonders and miraculous things. That's what I call it. And I have found out that God will use any means possible to reach people at whatever level he can reach them at. If it takes a donkey to walk down the wadi, down the valley, and to speak to a prophet, then he'll do that. If the only way those folks are going to understand is because of some kind of apparition that's appeared, then he'll do that. It's interesting that the apparition can't be seen, because if it could be seen, they'd build a statue to it. Exactly. So it's invisible. And only kids can see it. Young people. Galileans and rednecks, that's all, who can see what's going on. And they don't have any education, so they can't theologize on what's happening. Now, you know, I don't know what you're thinking right now. I'd like to know what you're thinking while I'm talking to you about this. I got a feeling a lot of you think, oh, okay, get on with this. You know, that doesn't fit. You know, that's wrong. That's false. All I'm telling you is that there's some marvelous things, strange things that are happening out across this world. 3,000 Southern Baptists have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 120,000 Catholics have received Jesus in an Iron Curtain country because of a vision that's happened over there. God will move in any way he can. And all I'm saying to us is we better be ready. There's a wave coming, folks. And it's time to be up and hanging 10. Right over the front edge of the surfboard, because something marvelous is beginning to happen. That's the reason when Curry says, let's dance, we better be dancing. We better be loose. We better be listening to what God is saying, because he wants to use us in the midst of this. As a result, the people brought their sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. It's here, folks. It's back again. Let's enjoy it while it's here. Let's sing, Jimmy. Come on, come on.
God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, with healing in their hand. Everlasting joy, the gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, with healing in their hand. Everlasting joy, the gladness in their heart. And in this army I've got a part. Yeah, God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance to their song, with healing in their hand. Everlasting joy and gladness in their heart. And in this army I've